Praise God, it is time. Listening audience, it's time for Living the Good Life. Right here live in the studio from Clearwater, Florida, Beacon of Hope Ministries show every Sunday at this time. And we're always so glad to bring you the Word of God and to listen to what God is doing in so many lives and helping so many people and just so much going on all around. And so it's a blessing to be with you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. And we'll have a couple of our radio team members, Betty and Dr. Angel, come along here in just a few minutes. And in the meantime, we are going to talk a little bit about what God is doing and where we're headed in the next few weeks. Because we all have a lot to get done for God's kingdom while we're here on this earth. And, you know, God's been speaking to me a lot about that what we do for his kingdom is only what will really matter eventually, right? What we do for God's kingdom. And so it's so important that we each take it seriously, our relationship with the Lord, what he has for us to do here on this earth while we're here, and that we get it done, that we listen to his voice, that we spend time in the Word of God, that we desire to hear what he would say to us. And that it are, those are the reasons why we've been on the air now almost 10 years on this show every Sunday afternoon. And we do it from a place of wanting to get the Word of God out to as many people as we can. We do it from a place of wanting to really be an inspiration and a source of encouragement to our listeners. That's what it's all about. It's not a money-making project. It's nothing like that. It's a ministry project. And so we're excited to be here today and to see what God is going to do during this show today. We have been in a series called Powerhouse Prayer. And, you know, we're in Thanksgiving week. And so it's a great time to really talk about the importance of praising God and thanksgiving in our daily lives. And, you know, our country was founded on that, as we all know, the Pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving and all of that. All of that happened. And the Pilgrims actually came here with an excitement to be able to worship the way they wanted to worship and to give God thanks for this new land that they had found. And it was just an amazing time for those Pilgrims so long ago. And we celebrate that every year about this time. Thanksgiving season, that's where we are right now, 2016. Betty, is that you or Dr. Angel on with me? Okay. I don't hear
you. Hello.
There we go. Hey, who are you?
I'm Gene. I'm trying to reach Chip. Have you there yet?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, he's already gone. He's already gone.
Oh, he's already gone.
Yes. I was thinking you were one of my callers in. So, no,
no,
he's gone.
No.
He's gone. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Okay, that doesn't happen very often, does it? Okay, so we'll wait on Betty and Dr. Angel to call in here in just a moment. So we are talking about the importance of praise. And in powerhouse prayer, so often we find that we are learning that there's more to prayer than just, God, help me today. Please help me today. Oh, God, work this problem out. There's so many components of powerhouse prayer that we've been talking about. We've been talking about praying with confidence, with praying with boldness. And that's such a bit important part of this whole aspect of powerhouse prayer and getting our prayers answered. All right, now let's guess again. Is this Betty or Dr. Angel?
This is Dr. Angel.
All right, how are you?
I am well, how are you?
Good, so glad you could be on the show today. I'm just introducing our topic of powerhouse prayer and the value of praise, which we're going to talk about today. But, you know, Doctor, you and I do the Thursday night show, and I think this might be a good time to even talk about that and what we do on that Thursday night show, which is called Go Yard. And why is it called Go Yard? And why don't you just talk about that for a minute?
Go Yard is a show just helping people hit the home runs in life and just helping them learn to live life and live it well, not just exist. And so it's an amazing show. We take it topic by topic. We break it down. We give you nice practical tools that you can actually use and implement in your life and start living well today.
Oh, absolutely. And it's every Thursday night right at 6:06 p.m. on this radio station, an hour-long show. And I got to tell you, we've been doing it a little over 2 years. And it is a joy to do that show, isn't it? It is for me. I won't speak for you, so you can speak for you.
It's absolutely a joy. And, you know, it's so funny because it's Thursday night. And by the end of the week, you know, I'm tired, physically, emotionally exhausted from, you know, everything I do. And it just energizes me to come into the studio and do that show every week.
Oh, it does. And the goal of the show is to give people hope and to give them some tools that can make life a little easier, don't you think?
That's it. That's what the goal is all about. You know, we all have to do this thing called life, and sometimes we struggle along the way, and we just give them tools to do it better.
Yeah, absolutely. Betty has just called in. Betty, you're an avid listener of Go Yard. Do you want to talk about that for a minute, our Thursday night life coaching show?
Oh, yes, with the dynamic duo, Dr. Angel Balzoni and Mama Mac.
There we are. We're right here. We're right here tonight.
We're right
today.
Here together again.
Yes, we are.
It's an amazing thing to have a radio talk show that is positive and uplifting, to be able to take something away from a show and be able to apply it to your own life. It's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. And it's a lot of fun to do that show. So that's with that said, we hope you will join us on Thursday evenings at 6:06 p.m. And we are blessed to be also on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And that show, the Go Yard show, airs every Saturday and Sunday at noon Eastern. So 12 o'clock, noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday. If you miss the show, you can go back and catch them on our website, too, goyard2014.org. So today we're talking about praising God and the amazing blessing of praise and thanks. That's what we're going to talk about today. Lord, we thank you and praise you from the bottom of our hearts that we have this opportunity to be on the air today and bring good news to those who might be suffering, those who may be depressed, discouraged, defeated. Today, Lord, let this day change them. Let this show give them hope. Let them this show remind them of your great love for every single one of us. And Lord, as we agree together today, we believe that the lives will be changed. And hearts will be touched as we hear of the good news of Thanksgiving. You get the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk more to Betty and to Dr. Angel in just a minute. We got to start this show with this good old song, God is good all the time.
And all the time. God is good. All the time, he put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good,
yes, he is.
All the time, through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good.
Yes, he is.
God is good.
Amen, amen.
All the time.
Here we go.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good.
Yes.
God is good all the time.
That's right. Let's.
If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, he will guide you, he will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you, and his word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
Yes, he is. Listen.
We were sinners and so unworthy. Still for us he chose to die. He filled us with his Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting and his mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. You have for me. My life is in your hands, and through the eyes of faith, I can clearly see that God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time.
Betty, let's talk about that. Is he good all the time? I think some people might think, well, how do you know that? I mean, are you sure about that? Do you have a comment on that?
Oh, well, I sure do.
Sounds like music from up in your parts of Indiana, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a Pentecostal toe tapper right there.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
You know, God is good. God is great.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just a simplistic prayer that, you know, we are so blessed to be able to have a God that gives us, through grace, maybe things that we're not really worthy of. He gives us choices. He gives us options. He gives us so many things that makes our life so much better.
Oh, amen.
And to be basically honest, I don't know what I would do without him.
Oh, I know.
And his goodness. His goodness is the goodness and his mercy endures forever.
Yes, amen. But you know, there are so many people that have such a negative view of God. Angel, you want to talk about that? Because there's a lot of people that might go, I don't know about that song. You know, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. I mean, you know, here we're talking to you as a clinician here, but don't you think some people struggle with that whole concept?
No, I think they do. And I think, in my experience, I hear a lot, if life is good, then God is good. And when life gets a little, you know, bumpy, then I don't know if God's really good because all this is happening.
Yes.
And we got to remember, God is good when life is great, and God is good when life is not feeling so great. And that's where it takes faith to push us through, because God's the same. He doesn't change just because
Amen.
Our circumstances do.
Amen. We're going to talk about a really bad circumstance in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And here's one of those stories that looks like it's going to have a very bad outcome, because the circumstances that become a part of the children of Israel's life are very, very negative. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And a bunch of people decided to wage war against Jehoshaphat and against the children of Israel. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, they joined forces. And Jehoshaphat, the king at that time, gets an intelligence report. We know all about intelligence reports. Our presidents get those. And the report said this: a huge force is on its way from beyond the Dead Sea to fight you. There's no time to waste. They're already at Hazen Tamar, the oasis of En-Gedi. Now, in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20, we find that Jehoshaphat did not take this news lightly. He did not say, oh, that's okay, we're stronger than they are. Instead, he was very human, and he was shaken up about this news. And so he prayed. So, Betty, I think it's okay, and I want your comment on this. When we get bad news, when we have ourselves kind of shaken up or fearful or upset about a situation, it's okay to really admit that, hey, wait a minute, this is bad. This could be very bad, you know?
Well, and I think that's the human side of us.
Yes.
That we first react.
Right.
Maybe even before our brain kicks in or our heart kicks in.
Right.
And that's where, you know, Jehoshaphat did the first thing he knew what to do was pray.
He prayed.
And
yeah.
He prayed. And one of the things that I think that we do as humans is that our first reaction is to overreact.
Oh, good point. Good point.
And we have to be able to, the Lord helps us to keep things in perspective.
Right.
He helps us to keep things in control. And by doing that, when we have that inability to comprehend what is going on in our life or what has caused us to be shaken, is the first person that we should address is our Heavenly Father.
Oh, totally. And this is a great story right here to talk about that very fact, that Jehoshaphat immediately prayed, and then he ordered a nationwide fast. In other words, he called the people to concentrate and pray together. Talk to me about that, Angel, because so often people are going, when they're fearful, when they're afraid of some impending destruction or whatever, they run every direction. You know what I mean? Angel, are you there? Dr. Angel.
Sorry. Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. That's our human side that just kind of comes out. You know, I think our first reaction is, oh, my gosh, we got to take it to the phone instead of the throne, you know.
Take it to the phone instead of the throne. Betty, I've never heard that. Maybe you have, but I like that. Take it to the phone instead of the throne. Okay.
And we really need to take it to the throne. That's what he was doing. He was calling on his people to take this matter. It was bigger than human hands, and take this matter to the throne of the, you know, and help him have the faith to get through this really challenging, difficult situation.
And he admitted, hey, we're up against something. He didn't try to cover it up. But, you know, I like that, what you just said, the phone and the throne, Betty, because so often, don't we do that? We just get on the phone and complain, and we're afraid, and we find somebody that will commiserate with us.
Oh, yeah, because I think they want, it's like an Oprah moment. It's like, you know.
An Oprah moment?
they take things, instead of taking things to God, they take things more or less to the nth degree of not stirring up negativity, but it will cause us to be more intensely have anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
By continually talking about it.
Right.
It fuels the fire. And that's where we have to make that choice to say, okay, I am not going to let this get to me. I am going to talk to my Heavenly Father. I'm not going to get on the phone, and I'm going to go to the throne. And that's where all of our trials and our messes, everything just turns around. We may not get the answer immediately, but if we search in prayer, if we search through the Word, God's Word washes over us, and it gives us that peace that maybe we can deal with the things that are shaking us until we can get through and get the answer that God wants us to have.
Exactly. And I think so often when we just talk to friends, family, whatever, about the crisis, it makes it worse. Angel, can you talk to me about that, especially from a psychological standpoint?
Well, we're giving so much attention to what's going on that's making us nervous or scared or what we're going through. And then we lose it. We get tunnel vision. That's all we can see. And that's all we can focus on is the problem.
Right.
And it just grows the problem because all of our attention and our focus and our thoughts and our conversations are on this problem.
Exactly.
And it just makes it become so much more large for us because it's consuming us.
Yeah, it does grow the problem. You know, and Jehoshaphat here took leadership here, and he called people to notice that, hey, we're in a crisis, and we've got to pray together in agreement. And we've talked a lot about a prayer of agreement in the last few weeks in this series. But that's what Jehoshaphat was doing. He's calling everybody to really get serious about this prayer thing. And then he addresses God, and I think in about verse 5 or 6, and he says, O God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven above and ruler of all kingdoms below? You hold all power and might in your hand, your fist. No one stands a chance against you. And didn't you make the natives of this land leave as you brought your people Israel in, turning it over permanently to your people Israel, the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived here and built a holy house of worship to honor you, saying, when the worst happens, whether war or flood or disease or famine, and we take our place before this throne, this temple, we know you are personally present in this place, and we pray out our pain and trouble. We know that you will listen and give victory. I think it's very important when we're up against it, maybe in a situation, it's not this one, of course, where you have an army coming at you personally, but here that we remind God of his greatness and his power to change the circumstances. That's what Jehoshaphat did as he did this prayer. He reminded God of how God had brought him right here to this place. And wait a minute, God, you are great. You are powerful. And that's why we started this show with God is good all the time. Talk to me about that, Betty, and then we'll go to Angel. Good stuff.
Yeah, it is very good stuff. And I think one of the things that the Lord gives us, he seems to accelerate our power when it comes to the power of prayer.
Yes.
When we bring his word, when we bring his promises, when we tell him, God, I praise you. I thank you for what I'm going through. Now, that's very hard to do, but we learned this through a very an apostle teacher back in October that says that we need to thank God for the problems.
I do remember saying that.
Yes, apostle.
Yep.
And
okay.
It's amazing what's happened in the last few weeks is that, you know, sometimes we think our kingdom is just, there's too much shaking going on.
Right.
But God takes that shaking and he quiets it. He calms us down to the point that when we start praising God and thanking him for the answer and thanking him, okay, Lord, I know you've given me this problem, but I know that there is an answer.
Amen.
It's a Q&A. It's a question and answer session of saying, okay, God, I'll give you a circumstance. Having a lot of things going on in your life on a personal basis. And then in comes a sickness from another family member. Another family has to go to the hospital. Or you have, in my case, you have animals that become sick and you don't know what to do. Okay, this is when things start shaking up. It's almost like a Yahtzee game. Everything in your life is just, it's in turmoil. You don't know which end is up. But once you begin to concentrate that problem in prayer, and sometimes fasting, as Jehoshaphat did,
right,
is things just don't seem quite as shaken as you thought they were, because God is good. God is good all the time. And that's where we need to focus. And
yes,
one of the things that we have to consider is when things start becoming impossible. We have a prayer group. Any prayer group that you can get that request to them, because
right,
there's power in prayer.
Yes.
Where two or three are gathered. I mean,
yes,
you can go on and on and on.
Yes.
Is that that's where the prayer covering comes in.
That's right.
And that's where the promises start to come out. And that's where you have a provision that is given to you.
Amen.
For that problem or that problem that's shaking you up.
That's exactly right. Woo, that's so true. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He redirected. And Angel, you can talk about that psychological principle, because it's, well, I do that with my dogs, and I think a lot of us do that with people. We redirect their attention to something positive instead of the negative. Talk to me about that whole thing, Angel, and how that relates to what Betty just said, and she's right on.
Well, absolutely, because if we sit and we just focus on the negative, it's going to bring us down. We're going to
yes,
feel more anxious. We're going to start feeling depressed. We're going to feel hopeless.
Right.
It's just going to consume us. When we change those thoughts to the positive,
yes,
you know, God, you were there when I went through this, and God, you did bring me through this, and God, you held my hand through this. Now I am speaking the positive. I'm speaking the power. I am speaking the answer, and then I will start believing, and my faith grows and becomes stronger, because now I know he's done it. I can believe him for this one too.
Oh, amen. And Angel, I remind you of the show we just did 3 days ago, Thursday night show, The Mindset of Gratitude. Betty, I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet on Go Yard, but it was the fact that it's not just an attitude of gratitude we have, that we should have, it's a mindset. And that was a very revealing show to us as we even did it.
Yes, it was.
Because we were just shooting from the hip, as we do sometimes, and just letting God lead. And Angel, do you want to say anything about that? Because it goes along right here with Jehoshaphat. He had a mindset that was not given to fear and despair. He had a mindset of gratitude. Go ahead.
Right, and the gratitude was all the things God has done for him, for his
yes,
people, for their situation. And the mindset was choosing to continue to trust and to do the actions. He did the possible. I can fast. I can get people praying. That's what I can do.
Right.
And I can choose to believe in my God and then let God come through with the impossible. You know, impossibility is the key ingredient in a miracle.
Exactly. Yes. And I love the fact that Jehoshaphat was reminding God of his greatness. He was saying, wait a minute.
I think that was more for Jehoshaphat's benefit, but that's what we need to do.
And why do you say it was more for his benefit? Talk to me about that.
Because that's his reminding God of God's greatness. He's building his faith, and he's changing his mindset, and he's getting on top of the situation instead of letting it get on top of him.
Oh, amen and amen. Talk to us, Betty. Talk to us. This is good stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think one of the things that I'd like to bring it in from a different perspective is that let's say you have a leader, and such as Jehoshaphat,
right?
And you see that he's positive. He's not focusing on the negative. You see him praying. You see him calling for the nation to fast.
Right.
That's going to trickle down.
Because
an angel, she may disagree with me on this, but sometimes it's a trickle-down effect, is that when you see someone being positive and they have such a great perspective of life and the things that they're going through, if you see them, you know, they've lost their job or they lost a spouse or whatever, is that you surround yourself with people who are positive, who have a way of looking at things that is not negative. I know that probably didn't make sense.
Yeah, it does.
But you people are imitators.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, we can see Zoe Grace, you know, she is an imitator. She's seeing what we do on a positive level, and she's imitating that. Okay, they're going to remember that, especially a leader as we get older. It's like, you as a pastor, you know, we see you, how strong you are and how brilliant you are by bringing forth the word and so forth, and how Dr. Angel brings it from a psychological perspective, and it gives you a whole different outlook.
There you go. It does.
I agree with you. And you know what? And what we surround ourselves is really what we become, because those are the messages we're constantly taking in. So if we surround ourselves with naysayers and negativity, we will become negative and a naysayer. And we surround ourselves with people who choose to be positive and have faith and persevere, then we will become more like that as well.
That is exactly right. And, you know, these people, it's interesting that when Jehoshaphat called the people to come and to pray together and fast, they didn't send telegrams or texts saying, oh, by the way, we're scared for our lives. We're not coming anywhere near you. If the enemy's coming to get you, we don't want to be anywhere near you. And, you know, I think they didn't do that, is my point, girls. And the point is, so often, though, when people are suffering, people run away from that because they don't know what to do or how to help. Talk to me about that, Angel, if you understand the concept I'm trying to get at.
I get what you're saying. And what I see in this story is that Jehoshaphat must have been a strong leader. Because when people are in crisis, people are looking for someone to stand up and give them a direction and help them lead the way. And he must have had exuded this confidence for them to be like, okay, he's given us a direction. This is what we can do. This is something tangible. Let's do it.
And
that's what happens. You know, a lot of times when we are in crisis, we're looking for somebody that can give us a direction and a path to go so that we can do what's possible.
And it's like they all came. It just says they all came and surrounded him, and they were on board, you know, because Jehoshaphat was really believe in God for a miracle. And I want to go back to verse, I don't know, maybe it's 9 or 10 in the Message Bible. Jehoshaphat, as he was praying, he says, when the worst happens, and sometimes we have some of the worst things happen to us, whether war or flood or disease or famine, and we take our place before this temple, we know you're personally present in this place, and we pray out our pain and trouble, we know that you'll listen and give victory. That is such a positive statement. When life happens and it's horrible, we know that when we concentrate on you, God, you're going to bring a victory in our lives. Talk to me about that, Betty, because that's what Jehoshaphat was saying.
Well, and that's where we gain strength through prayer. We gain strength through the prayer of others for us.
Right.
That when we have a situation where we could go out of control, that's where God puts us in park and says, okay, listen to that still, quiet voice and let him direct and guide me. Because another very prominent pastor that lived in Newcastle many years ago said that God leads and Satan rushes. And when we try to do things on our own, we go at 60 miles an hour, and sometimes we hit a dead end.
Right.
But when we have the power, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, lives in us. And we have that power to overcome.
Yes, we do.
We want to take the path that God wants us to go down. Now, it may not be the path that we want to go down, but I guarantee you that it's going to turn out a heck of a lot better when he's in control than if we try to do it.
Absolutely. And what I like about what Jehoshaphat says in this prayer, there's a lot I like, but one main thing I'm getting is, Lord, we know you're here with us. We know you're here. He's not going, where are you, God? What's going on? Talk to me about that, angel. I don't see any of that accusing God of not being present, you know, which is kind of human nature thing to do.
You know, it kind of is. I think a lot of times we kind of grow this human Santa Claus mentality of God, you know, give me, God's good when life is good kind of mentality. And
right.
God's God all the time. And when life is good, we praise him. When life's not good, we praise him because he is still God. And, you know, I love that. He's like, all right, you got this. No matter what we go through, I know you can.
Yes, yes. And in the Message Bible, the last couple lines of verse 9 says, we know you're personally present in this place. I love that. And we pray out our pain and trouble, and we know that you'll listen and give victory. He doesn't say, we wonder if you're there. We're concerned that you may not be. And oh, by the way, are you with us in this? I don't see that at all in verse 9. Do you, Angel?
Not at all. And I think that just goes to show his relationship with God. He had the faith that God is there. And, you know,
ooh,
a lot of times when we're going through trouble, we feel the most alone.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, our human nature is the question, who's with me? And, you know, human God, you know, we kind of start feeling like we're all alone in this. And he knew he wasn't. And he just shows the strength of his faith and his Lord and who he was and what he could do.
Oh, amen. Talk to us about that, Betty. Woo, good stuff. My faith is going up right now. How about the two of you? I can just feel myself getting stronger as we study this passage. Go ahead, Betty.
Well, I feel like that, you know, reading the scripture is that Jehoshaphat was a giant when it came to prayer.
Yes.
Surrender and standing strong as any king would.
Right.
I'm sure he had armor, the armor of God.
Right.
God was his guide. It was a light to his path. He just was such a strong, you know, I'm sure he was maybe a physically strong man, but what made him powerful was his spirituality.
Oh, yeah.
That I mean, basically eluded from every pore of his body.
Yeah.
That his power was through the grace and the mercy of God himself.
Yes.
And through the prayer and fasting is such an important thing, even in our life today.
Oh, it is.
Is that we gain strength through surrender.
Yeah.
We gain strength through our fasting, of giving up something that it doesn't have to be food. It could be something that we idolize. If we just give it up, give it to God and say, okay, God, I've got this problem, and I know that you're good all of the time.
Right.
But right now, God, my faith is failing.
Right.
And it just seems like, you know, coming into the show today, you know, our faith is escalating.
Yes.
The more we talk faith, the more we get built up.
That's right.
That's what Jehoshaphat had was he had the faith to move mountains.
Woo!
And that's what we have. That, you know what? We have that same authority. We have that same through, and I call it knee-mail, through knee-mail.
Right.
Prayer and communication is key when it comes
oh,
to
amen.
Having in problems in our life, because Satan will try to come in and turn your positive into a negative through condemnation, and that's where we have to be on the alert and understand that, yes, even in the bad times, God.
That's right. Oh, Angel, reply to that before we get to this next song, will you?
Oh, see, that was put it together so well, and it really is where our strength comes from, humility and surrender and knowing,
yes.
You know what, that's why we need God. Things are bigger. Life is bigger than us, and that's why we need a Savior. We need Him all the time, not
yes.
just for our initial salvation. We need Him to continue to walk and to face things, and all that's what builds us up so that we can pass that faith on to others around us. You know, I heard a saying one time, you know, people will never know how much you know about God, but they will know, they will see the light exuding from you. And that's where our light comes.
That's
when
right.
God's come through that difficult situation when we're feeling defeated, but then He shows up right on time and we have that testimony of Him.
Woo! This is a perfect place for this song, Whom Shall I Fear by Chris Tomlin. Love it. Jehoshaphat wasn't afraid.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I
praise God, I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful, mighty God. If you're just joining us, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're looking at a very impossible situation for the children of Israel. And we're in about verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 20. And so it happens that all these bad guys are coming towards Israel to destroy them. And here is Jehoshaphat the king praying. And he says in verse 9, I know that you'll listen and give victory. He knew that. That was a positive statement. And so what he does in verse 10 is he declares, now all this is happening. They're all coming at us, God. He's still praying. You didn't let Israel touch them when we got here at first. We detoured around and they didn't lay a hand on them And now they've come to kick us out of the country you gave us. Now he's still praying. I'm in about verse 12. Oh, dear God, won't you take care of them? We're helpless before this vandal horde ready to attack us. We don't know what to do. We're looking to you. That's the Message Bible. And it's verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 20. And I love that. Jehoshaphat is declaring his dependence and the dependence of his country on God. He says, we don't know what to do. We're looking to you. Oh, Angel, talk to me about that whole concept. We don't know what to do. We're looking to you. Wow.
And that's just the surrender of giving it to God. And,
yes.
You know, do the possible, praying, praising, building our faith, getting our army of people to pray with us.
Yes.
And surrendering it to God.
Right. And I love the fact that he doesn't say, okay, what's the plan here, God? He just says, look, we're dependent on you. We don't know what we're doing next.
That's complete surrender.
He doesn't say, okay, I've got this plan. What do you think about it? A lot of times I think we ask God to bless our own plans, you know, instead of asking God for his plan.
And that's our human, I think that's our human nature, is we kind of try to be the God on our own throne. Just in case he doesn't show up, I've got the plan. But if he shows up, I'll go with his. And we, that's not surrender. Surrender is, my plan is, I'm going to choose to trust you. I'm going to surrender this to you. I'm going to get my army of people behind me and praying. We're going to fast and we're going to give this to you.
Amen. We don't know what to do. We're looking to you. Talk to us, Betty. Angel's right on there. Woo. Are you there, Betty? Betty.
Sorry.
Okay.
I had you on mute.
Okay.
One of the things that we have to look at is the importance of positioning ourselves in a place where we can seek God and know he's on the scene. I don't think we give him enough credit sometimes for getting us through the messes and all the trials that we face. But, you know, we were talking about praise and thanksgiving, and sometimes, you know, he can work through us through praise.
Yes. Yes, he does. And you're right. And so often we don't give him all the credit. But here, Jehoshaphat is saying to the people, look, he's praying and he's declaring in front of the people. In a way, it's like he's saying, I may be king, but I don't know how to get us out of this mess. And that's true humility, don't you think, Betty?
Yeah, it's saying that I can't do this on my own.
Right.
I've got to have your help. And I think it all stems from having the ability to say, I can't do this.
Right.
I can't do this on my own. I've got to stand strong, and I've got to stand with my arms lifted up on my knees, asking God to give me the direction and the help that I need.
Exactly. Talk to us about all that, Angel. She's right on there.
She really is, and it's really about putting our human pride aside.
Oh, yes, it is, isn't
you know,
it?
He was a king. I mean, among the human, I mean, that's a high power, position of power in the human stance, but he didn't let his pride swallow him. He knew that he had a higher king, and that was guiding and needed to take care of the situation.
Yeah.
And that's just, I think as humans, we just have a hard time setting our pride aside.
Right, we do. And so often, you know, we do think that we have the answer and how we're going to work this out. I think that's very much human nature, you know. Now, Jehoshaphat wasn't like that. And we just read that he said, we don't know what to do. We're looking to you. And in verse 13 of 2 Chronicles, it says, everyone in Judah was there. It's interesting that they realized the gravity of this situation, that they were about to all be slaughtered. if God did not intervene. And it says here, little children, wives, sons, all were present and attentive to God. That's that prayer of agreement. Everybody is there. They are in one accord. Talk to me about the value of that, Betty, and then we'll go to Angel about that, because this is huge for the breakthrough that happened, that they were all on the same page. Are you there, Betty? I think we're having... Betty, are you there? Okay, go ahead, Angel. Go ahead. Talk to us about this prayer of agreement. It's huge. Oh, yeah, we've lost Betty. Okay, that's all right.
Not only is it huge, it's scriptural, you know, which was ahead of time in the New Testament, where we come together and we agree. And that's just where the power of being in one accord and the minds and the spirits are together in agreement for this very thing to have happen. And that's what God's calling us to do.
Talk to me about the opposite of that. What if this story read, well, there was this little faction group over here that wanted to do this, and there was this other group that was looking for a new leader and wanted to go back to Egypt, and then there was this other group. I mean, talk to me about what if.
Well, when we have division, I mean, when we have that division, God might not have shown up the way he did and did what he did. He may have had to have a whole different plan, because that agreement is very important. And that's, you know, something that God calls us to, is to have that agreement and to find our brothers and our sisters who will come together and agree with us.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You know, he's not a God of division. And so his people being in agreement was primary on his plans and purposes getting fulfilled.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that verse 13. Everyone in Judah was there. Little children, wives, sons, all present and attentive to God. So it wasn't that they were just all there. They were also very much focused on...
Right, they were there physically,
yes,
spiritually, mentally, emotionally. They were there.
Talk to me about that, because I think that's what happens in a lot of church situations. A lot of problems happen. People can be present but not actually be there, if you know what I mean. Can you explain that?
Right. I think a lot of people, you know, their bodies might show up to church and their minds are doing their to-do list for the week, and their spirits might pick up this or that, and then their emotions are thinking about all the inner gossip, or if this person's going to be their friend in the church, or if they can get in this group. And there can be a lot of that within our human churches. But that's not, we're not there when that happens.
That's exactly right. No. And I think that this verse really points that out. Verse 13 of 2 Chronicles 21:20, everyone in Judah was there, and they were all present and attentive to God. They were not just present, they were attentive to God. They wanted to hear what God was going to say and what he was going to do. They were waiting on God to speak to them and have a plan of action. And I think so often we get so bogged down in our fear, our distress, our wondering how something could possibly turn out for our good, that we lose our focus, Dr. Angel. We lose our focus. I think this happens a lot with people in churches and in our daily lives.
And then we're more focused on what's going on inside of the church, or what my friend group's going to be, or what people are saying about me, or do I look holy enough, or whatever. And I think we lose that.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we're afraid to bring those problems to get prayer of agreement, because those become gossips of agreement in our churches.
Right.
Instead of getting people really to pray and believe for that miracle in your life.
Exactly.
We can't do that in the church. We can't afford to do that in the church.
No. So what I see in this story are so many important things. Reminding God of his greatness, saying, God, we don't know what to do, but we know you're here. We don't know what to do, but we know we're looking to you. We know you do. And we're going to all be in agreement that you're going to give us an answer here, that you've got a plan that we don't know about. And that's why Betty mentioned earlier something I preached in the revival in October in Indiana, was that when we have a problem, we should thank God for the problem, because we are actually already thanking him for the provision and the answer, because we know that he has an answer before we see it. Talk to me about that, Angel.
Oh, he has an answer for the problem before we have the problem.
There you go.
I really believe that, you know, this is laid out. And, you know, one of the things that I've used personally in my life that has really helped me is every time that I've gone through a major issue and that I really had to rely on God and he comes through, I get a memory stone of that event. If it's a little coin or something that reminds me of that issue and God coming through, and I have a collection of them now.
Really?
So many times God has come through, and I keep them in my purse, and I take them everywhere I go, and they're my memory stones of each time God has come through. So when I'm feeling overwhelmed, as you know, I've gone through a couple months at work of a lot of stress, and I just keep pulling those stones out and laying them on my desk. Okay, God, you've been here this time. You've been here this time. You've been here this time. I'm trusting
you. I love that. I love that because that reminds me of when the children of Israel went across the Jordan River, and then
That's where I got the concept.
Is that where you got it?
They took the stones out of the bottom of the river to remind them what God had done in their life. I think humans, we need tangible memory stones.
I agree, and that's, they put 12, one for each tribe, and built them up a little bit there together. But that is exactly right. And, I like that idea. I like that. Memory stones that remind us of these miracles and these times in our lives where we had no idea how God was going to come through. Because when we are up against another battle, which we will be, as long as we live on this earth, we're going to continue to have battles. And when we're up against those, we can so easily then go back and see, wait a minute. God, you did have the answer there. So tell me what happens on the inside of you when you pull those memory stones out of your purse.
Oh, my gosh, it's such a faith builder because I can be feeling very defeated that minute. And as soon as I start seeing, I'm like, nope, he's done it. He'll do it again. That's God. That's how he's been in my life. And I kind of think our life is just we swing from battle to battle, and each battle makes us stronger in faith and perseverance and defines us more and refines us more. And it just grows my faith. It
defines us.
Beat up to feeling, all right, I trust in the God who sits on the throne. He can handle this.
Amen. Defines us and refines us. Go back to that point. I caught it. It was very good.
Well, refining us is, it's just that process of taking out the doubts that we have and kind of laying aside some of our own humanness and our frailty parts of us that, I'm just being honest, having a PhD, it makes me feel sometimes I can handle a lot in my own power. So
okay.
It really takes a lot for me to be able to surrender it to God because, I'm used to handling high levels of stuff. I have a lot of skills.
High-level problems.
Because I need the big ones before I'll be like, okay, guys, you got this.
That's cool.
But that's what the refining is. It's teaching us to set our – if I could just learn to set my humanness aside quicker, I wouldn't have to get the battle so deep sometimes. And so that's the refining process.
You're exactly right about that because there are so many times where we just think, okay, I'm strong here. I can get through this. Or I know the answer. I've done this before. I met this problem before. I know how to do it. And so often God changes, doesn't he? What the way he's going to respond to maybe at the identical problem you had 10 years before and you think you know how to get through it, navigate it this time, God changes. Changes the situation somewhere.
He absolutely does. And when we can set us aside, which is really the hardest part, I think, is setting us aside and giving it to God and just letting him have that control of, okay, how you work this out is how it's going to be, not in my own idea of how it should be, because it's usually never how I think it's going to be.
That's right.
And accepting that, okay, this is perfect. I remember when I used to teach children's church, we used to use the example of the fake pearls. And you have a little girl who always wants their little fake pearls. And, that's our idea. The God's got the real genuine one. He's just trying to get us to get rid of the fake one so he can give us the ultimate pearls of his plan.
Oh, so good. Yes.
And it's hard to give up the fake ones because they look pretty.
Yes. So we're talking about being so dependent on him that we don't try to second guess how he is going to deliver us out of the situation. Nobody would have been able to guess how this was going to develop. So you got to stay tuned with us for the next few minutes while we develop the end of 2 Chronicles 20 and show you God's plan was not human at all. This was so different than what you would expect. And so with that said, and Betty mentioned it earlier, we have a prayer team. It's prayers@bohmglobal.com. I'll give that to you again. BOHM stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So write it down somewhere, because we all need times, and we all have times in our lives where we need prayer. Prayers at BOHMglobal.com. Just jot out a quick note, and Betty or my associate pastor, Pastor Jim,